Thank you, Jamie, for reading for us. Let me pray for us as we approach this passage. Dear Father, we thank you for your word to us in the Bible. We thank you for this passage from Acts 26. I pray that you would help me to speak through your Holy Spirit and help us all as we hear your word tonight. May your word impact and change us to be more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever had a life-changing moment, a turnaround moment, something that changed the direction that you were travelling in. One of my childhood favourite books and movies was Anne of Green Gables. In this story, Anne is an orphan child who's been moved from asylum to asylum, from foster home to foster home, and she has never belonged to anyone. She's taken in by Matthew and Marilla Cuthbert. Initially, this is only for a trial period, and her future is still uncertain. She hopes that they will decide to keep her. Her turnaround moment happens when Marilla tells her that her trial is over and they have decided that she will stay. She now belongs to someone. She is part of a family. The whole direction of her life changes. She starts to make friends, to go to school, and to set down roots that enable her to thrive. In our passage tonight, Paul will tell the story of his turnaround moment when Jesus transformed him and sent him out and the impact that this had. We are currently working through the second half of the book of Acts, which tells the story of how the good news of Jesus as Messiah and Lord started to spread from Jerusalem to Judea and then further and further to the ends of the earth. We've been following the story of Paul, one of the apostles who's been spreading his message about Jesus. Last week, Brene took us through Acts 20 when Paul farewelled the church leaders of Ephesus. After this, Paul and his companions travelled to Jerusalem, where Paul is beaten by the Jews who accuse him of teaching against their people. He is arrested and the Jews plot to kill him. Paul is moved to Caesarea and he's imprisoned for 2 years by the Roman governor Felix. Festus then supersedes Felix as the Roman governor. Paul is now on trial before Governor Festus and the Jewish king Herod Agrippa II, who requested to hear Paul himself. We then reach Acts 26, where we pick up tonight. We'll be looking at this passage in three sections. Firstly, from verses 1 to 11, Paul tries to capture followers of Jesus. Secondly, Jesus captures Paul and sends him from verses 12 to 18. And finally, Paul preaches Christ from verses 19 to 32. So firstly, in verses 1 to 11, Paul tries to capture followers of Jesus. In verse 1, Paul is given permission to speak for himself and to give his defence. What does Paul begin by saying? Paul shares about his life before he met Jesus. In verse 5, Paul tells how he conformed to the strictest sect of Judaism, living as a Pharisee. Paul was convinced that he needed to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and he went to great lengths to capture, imprison, and to kill followers of Jesus. From verse 9, Paul says, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This included putting the Lord's people in prison and putting them to death. He was doing this on the authority of the chief priests. However, we know that this was not actually what the Ten Commandments say, do not murder. Paul was trying hard to live in a way that he thought was serving God, but we know that he was getting it wrong. We see in verses 6 and 7 that he, like other Jews, was earnestly seeking God day and night, hoping to see the promise of God fulfilled. Yet he had missed the fulfillment of the hope that God had promised through his ancestors and that was fulfilled in Jesus the Messiah. From verse 11, we see Paul became obsessed with persecuting followers of Jesus. Paul says, "I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities." Paul was trying to be the best Pharisee he could by capturing and killing as many followers of Jesus as he could. He truly did believe that this was serving God. But it appears that Paul, in his obsession, had his self-worth and his identity tied up in his zealous persecution of the followers of Jesus. Let me take you back to my past, around the year 2004. I was a bit of a perfectionist when I was in school and uni. I would work really, really hard at all of my schoolwork. Too hard, actually. I did this all so that I could receive good marks. I set unrealistic expectations for myself. One time I said to myself, "I must get 97% on this maths test." And then when I only got 94%, I was upset and thought that I was a failure. My identity was tied up with doing well. When I achieved good marks, I felt really good about myself. I even felt that I was better than other people. But when I failed to meet my own expectations, I felt like a failure. I felt insecure and anxious, fearing that I would never be good enough. I knew this behaviour was a problem, but I found it difficult to change. I was living in a misguided way. My life was built upon shaky ground. My foundation could fall out from under me at any moment. What are our lives built upon? Are we living in our own misguided ways? We can try and seek our own significance or self-worth by achieving certain things or impressing certain people. Before we meet Jesus, we've all tried to build our lives on certain things, certain principles or ideals, goals or values. We've tried to impress people and tried to be the best at something. Or we may have failed at this, and so we've felt unworthy and ashamed. We need to realise that none of these things can save us or give us a true identity. Or maybe we have realised this, but we don't know what to do about it. Well, friends, the answer is that we need Jesus. Jesus saves us. For it is Jesus is the one who saves us, restores us, and sends us. This brings us to our second section. Jesus captures Paul and sends him. In verses 12 to 18, Paul tells the story of how he met Jesus. Jesus captured him and turned his life around from killing Christians to becoming a follower of Jesus and serving him. How did this occur? Well, Paul was on a journey from Damascus to hunt down followers of Jesus when, from verse 12, Paul says to us, "I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground." What was the light that blazed brighter than the sun? Well, Paul was confronted with the glory of Jesus, a light that blazed from heaven. This glorious light is the life of the risen and glorified Lord Jesus. They all fell to the ground, which is a common response in the Bible when people get a glimpse of the glory of God. The light and the glory are so vast that they cannot remain standing in Jesus' presence. The light shines through the darkness of Paul's life and reveals Jesus to him. Then Paul, who was previously known as Saul, hears a voice. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Lord, who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. What is happening here? Jesus is revealing who he is to Paul. Jesus says that it is hard to kick against the goads. Now, the goads refer to a spiked stick, which was used to direct oxen when they were ploughing a field. Sometimes the ox would kick against the goads, but this was painful and ineffective because the person driving the ox was in control and had ultimate authority. When Paul persecuted followers of Jesus, he is trying to resist the power of the Almighty God. Paul was fighting an uphill battle against Jesus, which he was never going to win. But Jesus captures him and uses his life for good. Jesus then calls Paul to something greater. In verses 16 to 18, Jesus instructs Paul to stand on his feet and tells him that he has appeared to him in order to appoint him as a servant and as a witness of what Paul has seen and will see of Jesus. Jesus promises Paul that he will rescue him from his own people and from the Gentiles and send him to them. He's being sent to open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. He is calling Paul to be a herald of God's good news, that those who turn to Jesus receive forgiveness from their sins and a place among those who are sanctified or made holy by their faith in Jesus. In verse 19, Paul tells us that he was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. And we know from Acts that Paul has told many people about Jesus. The light of Jesus tore through the darkness of Paul's old life. Jesus called and commissioned Paul, and Paul obeyed. This is evidence of how Jesus saved Paul. Paul was not only saved, but he was restored. He was healed from his old way of life, from finding meaning in his own achievements. He now knows Jesus, and that is all that matters. Paul is then sent on a mission with a new purpose by Jesus. Have you ever experienced a power outage at night? I grew up in Warrandyte, where there are lots of trees, and we had frequent power outages. Once we had one that lasted for 4 days. When the power is out and you walk around in a dark room, you can't see where anything is. You can't orientate yourself. You could bump into something. You could fall over and hurt yourself. Or you could try playing a board game in the dark. And I can tell you that it's quite hard to play Triominoes in the dark. When the power is turned on again and the lights come back on, suddenly everything is clear. You are safe and you can walk around without fear of hurting yourself. If you are not yet a follower of Jesus, it is a bit like walking around in the dark. But there is a great invitation for you. When we look at Paul, we see that no one is ever too far away from God for Jesus to reach them and turn their life around. Paul was killing Christians and Jesus reached him. Or if you are struggling with finding your true identity and are weighed down with not being good enough or liked by others, then Jesus longs to reach you and to show you that he loves you unconditionally. He died for us to take away our sins and to bring us back to God. God's invitation is to see Jesus, to turn to him, to receive his gift of forgiveness and restoration, and to choose to serve him. Jesus longs to save us, restore us, and send us. If you are a follower of Jesus, there is also an invitation for you. What was it like when Jesus saved you? There may have been one moment that you can remember, or it might have been a slower journey. Sharing your testimony can be a powerful tool for sharing Jesus with others. God is the one who restored Paul, and maybe God wants to do some work of restoration and healing in us too. Are there ways that you need to allow God to work in you to bring you restoration and healing so that you can be prepared for the work that he has for you to do? We'll talk about this a little bit more in a bit. That brings us to our third section. Paul preaches Christ from verses 19 to 32. In these verses, we see that Paul preaches the good news of Jesus at every opportunity with God's help. In verses 19 to 21, Paul explains how he had been obedient to Christ's call to share the good news of Jesus with many people from Damascus, Judea, and then to the Gentiles. Paul has undergone serious persecution himself for sharing the gospel. He has gone from one persecuting Christians to being persecuted for preaching Christ. What is this gospel message that Paul has been proclaiming? Paul explains that the gospel message in verses 22 to 23, that the Messiah would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. And from verse 20, we see Paul calls people to repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance through their deeds. Paul is so sure of who Jesus is that he must proclaim him. He even proclaims Christ when he is on trial and even tries to persuade King Agrippa from verse 27. Paul says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." Paul is not ashamed of the gospel and does not try to deny it, even when Festus accuses him in verse 24. "You are out of your mind, Paul. Your great learning is driving you insane." Paul is so sure of who Jesus is and that everyone needs to hear about it. He is so secure in Christ himself that he is not even put off by other people's reactions. What response does Paul get? He's had a mixed response. Some people respond well and come to faith in Jesus with power. And he has had people persecute him, imprison him, and want to kill him. And now he's even on trial for sharing Jesus. How can Paul continue to preach the gospel of Jesus under such circumstances? We see from verse 22 that it is only by God's help. "But God has helped me to this day, so I stand here and testify to small and great alike." Jesus himself promises his followers that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on them to be his witnesses. This is from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Like a light that is not plugged in, or a torch without batteries, we will not be very effective at sharing the gospel unless we are plugged into Jesus through the Holy Spirit, because it is Jesus who sends us to tell others about him. What does this mean for us today? Even under trial, the good news of Jesus is a message of hope for the prisoner and the persecutor. We can't assume that anyone is too powerful or too distant from God to hear the gospel message and respond to it. Therefore, we are encouraged to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, in all contexts with different people that we meet, with God's help. That doesn't mean that we will be persecuted like Paul was, because we are very fortunate in Melbourne to be able to follow Jesus without this sort of a persecution. But even so, I know that sometimes we find sharing Jesus really, really hard. Why don't we share Jesus with others? Why do we find it so difficult? Often I think it's because we are afraid. Afraid of what people will think, afraid of being rejected or of damaging relationships because we share Jesus with others. I know I certainly struggle with this too. If we are not secure in Jesus, in his unconditional love for us, and trusting him to provide our greatest source of self-worth and security, then if we do get rejected or hurt by others, then it can feel like it's going to crush us. But the good news is that God is the one who equips us to share the good news of Jesus. He is the one who restores us so that we can be sent with the message of Jesus, secure ourselves in our Lord and Saviour. So we can ask Jesus to restore us, to heal us and to equip us through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can share Jesus boldly like Paul did, confident in Jesus' unchanging love for us. We are all different and God has called us to serve him in different ways. I would encourage us all to pray and ask God in what ways he wants to restore us, grow us in trusting him, so that we can be sent out to share Jesus with others and to serve him in the way that he has called us. In closing, I would like to share a little bit more of my own story. I was once in a place where I did not feel able to really serve God, gripped by fear and uncertainty. I felt immobilized from doing God's work, and then I would feel guilty because I couldn't do it and I hadn't done it. But God has been so gracious to me. He has done a lot of work in healing me, including healing me from OCD. He has assured me of his unconditional love. And now I believe more that my security and my confidence rest in him, in his love for me, his precious child. Because of this healing, I want to be now sent out to do God's work in the world. I still have a long way to go on the journey. We all do. But God continues to restore and heal me so that I can and will proclaim the name of Jesus to others even more boldly. It is Jesus who saves us, restores us, and sends us. So, if you would like to make a commitment to Jesus tonight, or if you would like to receive prayer for something, then please do ask someone to pray for you. I am very happy to pray for you. You can pray with someone else that you see up the front tonight, or you can pray with the person you came with. Let me pray for us. Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world to show us who you are and to save us. Thank you that in Jesus we are loved unconditionally and offered security and assurance. We thank you that you promised to save us, restore us, and send us when we come to you. We ask that you would restore and heal us, making us secure in Jesus so that we can be equipped to share him with those around us through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask this for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen.